Have you ever gone to dinner at a nice restaurant and you have this lovely meal and you're really, the restaurant's known for like any magazine you've ever seen and you're just so excited and the dessert comes and it's just absolutely beautiful and you take a bite and you go, meh. But now you're committed, you know, and you have to eat it. And it was kind of like, it wasn't what it seemed. How many times have you seen something, maybe like an outfit on a rack and you go, ooh, that would look good on me. And so then you either just buy it and take it home or you go in and you put it on and it hits every body part you don't like. And you go, oh, this was not what it seemed. That's kind of, I think, how people viewed my husband and I for many, many years. Peaceful, great. There's a lot of reasons for that, I think. But things are not always what they seem. 37 years, I'll tell you what, it's a long time. Now, the two of us, one thing I didn't say is we're artists. We've always been entrepreneurs. We have our own business. We work together, and we work at home. Is that a recipe for disaster or what? Woo, baby! So I want to share the things that we've learned. We've worked very, very hard at our marriage for a very long time. And by the grace of God, I can stand here and tell you there's been times that I thought, maybe I married the wrong person. Maybe he married the wrong person because it was so combative, so much, so long. We have the most wonderful marriage now. I mean, it's incredible. It's like watching a miracle in life that had unfolded. It really is. And I am not a Pollyanna, and those of you who know me know that. But I'm saying, God, how did you do this? How did you do this miracle? And I'm watching it, and it continues more and more in him and me and us, and it's absolutely amazing. So that's what I want to share with you. I'm going to tell you a little bit more about us, but first I want you to look at this first page of your handout. I wanted to do a little test. Now, obviously, you're all here for different reasons. Some of you may feel like you don't necessarily have a not peaceful, whatever the opposite is, a marriage that, you know, has a lot of turmoil, but you could maybe use a tune-up, or you want to know what the old lady has to say. Maybe you're kind of at a point where you're going, you know, we have some real communication problems, and I love them, but I don't know how to get around this. Maybe you're at a crisis point, and you're thinking, if something doesn't change, I don't know how much longer I can do this. And I've been on all those places, and because we're human, you know, right? So I applaud you all for coming, because we want to know how to get better. We want to know, really, how to live in what God has for us and what he died to give us, because one of the biggest things is peace, right? So take just a second. If you have a pen, I want you to do this little diagnostic test on the front. And so, of course, you know, is your marriage home not as peaceful as you'd like? Well, probably why you're here. So on a scale of 1 to 5, rate the following, with 1 meaning you strongly agree, 5 meaning you strongly disagree. This is just for you. So this chase, and this is just a list of priorities, really, as we know they should be. And then just go around for a couple minutes and answer those for you. Okay. You can finish that later if you want. I'm going to talk a lot about we're talking about your marriage, but I also want to talk about your home, because your marriage affects your home and vice versa. And so we all want peace, right? We all want that as a place of peace, our marriage and our homes. There's a lot of different reasons why things could be out of balance. Sometimes, just like that first one, priorities getting out of balance can make things not peaceful, right? When you look at this list, whatever, maybe some things, maybe ministry's too high up on the list and you're not keeping your home a peaceful place, just as far as food and keeping things, you know, clean or whatever, and or schedules with your kids. I'm sorry, this is bothering me. Maybe your finances you haven't paid enough attention to. All those things can create a measure of chaos. So really, as you're reviewing things later, just ask God these things. Say, well, show me, because a lot of times life is fluid and it changes, and a lot of times there's different circumstances, you know, when kids come into your life or grandkids or whatever. Maybe for a while you're helping out with your grandkids or kids, of course, that's a whole nother story, and then things never really kind of got back to where they should, because, you know, before you had kids, and not everyone does, I understand that, but even if you don't remember, it's your husband and you were first, and so that's a priority you always have to really keep. It's important, and those of us who their kids have you know, gone on and are adults, you really know one day if you look at your husband and you go, I don't like you. That's not a good thing. I had a prayer early on in our marriage when we were at a particularly bad point, and literally I was so at the end of my rope, all I could do was get on my knees and look up and say, I don't like him, help. And that was my whole prayer. But I will tell you, God does. He hears even those little prayers that are cryptic, and you think, I don't think I can do this. He hears, and he does answer, and he does act. So ask yourself these things as far as priorities. Is disorganization creating a loss of peace? Now, this is no indictment. It's funny because Jeff and I are both in some ways super organized, in some ways not. And maybe all of us are like that in the thing we like or want to be. And then sometimes I think, how can I be so disorganized and beat myself up over that? But if you have one great way to just kind of keep peace in the home is take, what I used to do is take Sunday night, write everything out, what was coming up for the week. And I did that probably a little better when I had kids in the home. And I went too far and color-coded everything for each kid. But had that on the refrigerator. But that way, everybody sees what's going on. Sometimes just lack of communication creates no peace. And I don't mean just like husband and wife sitting there going, you know, pour your guts out for me. I don't mean that. We communicate every second, right? We have tacit communications. In other words, you know, you're talking to your husband and he goes like this and you think, what does that mean? Am I boring him? Or is it too many words? So we're constantly communicating. So about that Sunday night thing, another thing we used to do is just have a quick little family meeting, because that way everybody knew what was going on. You can do that too just with your husband. We're in a season right now, we have one car, so we're always going, do you need the car? We kind of have to communicate on that level. But with your kids, if two kids have a soccer game or an event at the same time and you're saying, grandma's gonna pick you up over here and you know whatever, you're kind of, that's helps with organization. Also, we used to use that time just to throw out there as kind of the family meeting time, like, do you guys have any grievances? Is there anything you want to do differently? We'd like to maybe, you know, implement something. If you don't like even a practical way we do something, now's the time to talk about it, and it's a safe place. That's a really good thing with your spouse too, because we're all so busy. So even if you can do that, you know, I think it's a good on a daily basis, but even if you can only do it every couple days, and you can say, you know, how are you doing? are things okay? What's going on? And just not even just really soul, you know, communication, but I mean just on a practical level, because that's one of the ways we communicate all the time, and we need to. I didn't mean to spend that much time on that. Are there outside situations or circumstances affecting the peace in your home or marriage? That's something you can assess and see, because if it's something, maybe a relative is ill and you're spending more time over there and your spouse might be in a particularly needy time, you know, take the time to assure them, it's not you. I want to spend time with you. This is the situation. It's just communication is such a huge, huge deal. And sometimes just doing that will bring a little peace back, because we're going to talk about the differences with men and women, but we want to make sure that they know they're a priority, the people in our lives. Specifically, we're talking about marriage in our lives. So outside circumstances, is it the kids? Oftentimes, hey, that can be challenging. You might have to talk about that too. Are there things, does this kid need more attention? What's going on? Just as long as you're communicating in order to keep that peace. Or are there challenges and or systemic problems in your marriage? Well, that can be a biggie. I want to spend some time, but I still want to encourage you. Again, let me tell you our story. So Jeff and I met when I was 16 and he was almost 22. That alone is like, ah, at least for my father. He was a senior in college. I was a junior in high school and he was a senior in college. And he and I we had commonality. We're both artists, like I had said. We both had background in theater, and we both loved God. We loved being outside. We had kind of similar senses of humor. We loved to swing dance. We loved to help people. But there was a lot of ways we were so different. And we were both really headstrong. He's messy, I'm tidy, for the most part. except those little piles, you know, but really, that's kind of how we are. It seems like he's always cold, I'm always hot. And I've been that like that my whole life. Our music styles are really different. He's rock and roll, I'm like R&B and gospel. He loves breakfast, I'm like, let me wait on breakfast. And I love dinner, he doesn't care if he doesn't eat dinner. So I mean, some of those things sound silly because we laugh at them, but on a day-to-day basis, it can get a little bit irritating. One thing that speaks love to Jeff probably more than anything is if I make his breakfast. So I make a point to make his breakfast. And then there's always this little thing going, it'd be nice if you'd make my dinner. Doesn't usually happen. Because he doesn't really cook. Because why? Because I'm a pretty decent cook. So, you know, why do that? But anyway, so sometimes you have all these things that, you know, are different. And that already can set the groundwork for some problems later. Because, you know, sometimes you marry somebody and it's like, oh, I love that he's so into sports. And then, you know, 2 years down the road, you're like, he's a sports fanatic. All he does is watch the TV. So we have to sometimes kind of think of the things that we loved about each other at the beginning and remember the positive side of it. So we really had a lack of communication when we got married. We had a lack of a lot of things. We didn't plan well for the future. We were both very broken people because of the situations we came from. And so planning and stuff was really not ever taught to either of us. And so that is not good to go into a marriage with a lack of planning. And, you know, there's obviously repercussions from that down the road in a lot of ways. But his style, his family, they all yelled and screamed, and he came from a broken family. My family, we were stuffers. Well, when everybody yells and screams, you have to be good at fighting. And if you really know Jeff, and if as God has healed him of a lot of things and things have been stripped away, he's a really tender, sweet, kind person. And it was sad. If I had time to tell you all the things that unfortunately happened to him growing up, it's sad when you think of a little guy going through that. There's a saying that says it's easier to build a boy than mend a man. And unfortunately, and I just want to say, because I was thinking, how on earth am I going to fit in this divorce thing? And maybe I'm speaking to people that are really in a difficult situation that you don't know what else to do, and you're hoping that doesn't happen. But you think, I want to tell you that because of the choices his parents made, that robbed me of the husband, really, that I should have had because of his brokenness and going through things. And it's really the same with Jeff. The things that happened to me, and unfortunate, and hey, we live in an imperfect world, but that robbed Jeff of the wife he should have had too. Now, the good news is we serve a big God. And so although I can stand up here and tell you 37 years, I ain't gonna lie, most of it was very difficult. But because we were so committed, and that's one of the ways we were similar, was we were so committed and so stubborn. It was like, by golly, you know, we always have a joke that says, you leave, you die because I hunt you down and kill you. But we were really committed to each other, and we were committed to making things work, even to the point of talking. Now, because I was raised in a family of stuffers, it would be so funny because, not funny, but I would stuff, and then one straw breaks the camel's back, right? And it could be like, I told you not to fill the thing that much because blah, 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 and then you open it and it goes everywhere, who knows what. And so it was always something like that that made it all come out. Well, Jeff started, because we were committed to learning communication, which might have been, it was painful for both of us, he would make me talk. And literally sometimes he would not let me go to sleep. He'd say, you have to tell me what's wrong. We were first married. You have to tell me what's wrong. I can't. And when you really got all those layers off, it had nothing to do with the pitcher that he filled, so who knows what. It was way, 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 way down here, maybe something that happened a week before, him going like this in front of somebody and thinking, I thought I was stupid, or he thought, who knows what. But we had to get to the core issue. Now, with him coming from a family, they would just fight, and shrapnel would be everywhere, and they'd be like, you want ice cream? You know, and I'd be like, you can't do that. You know, so definitely learning communication has been a lifelong thing for us. I mentioned God was always our highest priority. We wanted a family. We were committed to each other. We were dedicated to learning how to communicate. And one thing, one little rule we put in when we first got married was there's no right or wrong to feelings. And the reason that that worked for us at the beginning was some of those tacit things. Like, you know, when you kind of rolled your eyes when I said such and such, I felt like you thought that this was a dumb idea. I'm giving you an example. And then he might say, no, I just remembered that this thing at work and blah, blah, blah. And you know what? Because stuff comes out on our face. You can talk about it. That worked for us because I was super sensitive and he was really boisterous and whatever. But there's no right or wrong to feelings. That's just a little something we came up with. Whatever will get you talking about things like that, especially when you're, well, I shouldn't say when you're newer married, because, but that really, really does work. Okay, so let's see. We went to counseling many, many times throughout the years. And again, we're here because I'm here because I want to share and hopefully save you guys some pain. I want to tell you, and you know this already, but Jesus is preoccupied with the institution of marriage, right? It's a covenant. It's a representation of him, really. And he wants us to live at peace. So one thing that I wanted to do was explain how many ways we're different and to give you guys some tools in this day-to-day communication. Because you're all here for tools, right? I mean, it's like, okay, this is horrible. How do I make it better? So maybe not horrible, but I want to go over a couple things. So first of all, men and women, we're super different, right? Right. Okay, so here's a lovely girl. You wouldn't know I'm an artist. And here's a guy. Whoop. Boom, boom. All right, so some of the things that men want, and I'm sorry this is so behind here. Okay, so men, where did I go? So men want respect. Men want appreciation. Here's a biggie. Men want to be needed. They want to know that they're needed. Believe it or not. Shanti Feldheim, did any of you come when she was here? One of the things she says that, you know, women, we want to know that we're loved, right? And so I love you. That's important. Now, do you know what the man's I love you is? Thank you. I know, who said sex? You think? No, well, we were not going to go there because that would take at least 45 minutes. Okay, so say thank you. So often, especially if you're in a hurting place and your husband, you might feel like is just being unreasonable or jerky or whatever. It's like, how am I going to find one good thing to say? But that's when you ask the Holy Spirit, what can I say? You look nice today. I appreciated when you washed the trash can. Yeah, ask God to help you because he really will help you. And believe it or not, those little things, saying those little things, expecting nothing in return, those it's almost like making those deposits, you know? And then one day, it's transformative. It really, really is. I don't want to jump to the kindness challenge yet, but okay. Women. So is there anything else that anybody can think of for this that men want? Other than the S word. And I will say really fast, that you probably all know this, but that means something different to men. That means that's their most vulnerable, intimate place. And as, we're going to talk about love languages in a minute, but that's, I didn't understand for a long time how important that was to my husband. It's the most, that's the time that they let down. And they let somebody in. And so it's a very, very, very special bond, of course, between husband and wife. But I just didn't understand how important that was. Okay, so women, where did we go? So what are some things that are important for women? We want to be taken care of, right? And that doesn't always mean financially, but God made men to provide and protect. And so we want to know that we're taken care of, that we're protected, that we're provided for. We want to be cherished. We want to be heard. Biggie. Hello, hear me, especially when we have 21,000 words a day and they have seven. This is true. We want to be loved. And we want to be understood. Because there's a difference. To be heard and to be understood are two different things, right? I want to read you a scripture. Therefore, I, the prisoner of the Lord, implore you to walk in a manner worthy of the calling with which you have been called, with all humility and gentleness, with patience, showing tolerance for one another in love, being diligent to preserve the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. So I have a question for you. Have you sought to do the bare minimum in your marriage? Howie? I don't know. Sometimes we don't do that on purpose, but it's kind of like, don't you see what I'm doing? You know, I have 50 million other things to do, and then now you want me to sit there with you. And some personality types are more like that than others, right? But remember your priority list. What? Ephesians 4, 1 through 3. Sometimes, I just heard this, and I think it's great. What we thought was good enough is not what pleases the Lord. What God wants us to do is to desire to do the right thing and to do the right thing, right? I mean, sometimes we just don't want to, especially if it's been years and years, and I want to... It's like, you know, my husband, I always used to say, sometimes Jeff might have acted like a jerk, but he wasn't a jerk. Does that make sense? Like, at his core, he wasn't really a jerk. But boy, he could act like a jerk for a really long time, you know? And of course, that was my point of view. Well, no, it was true, really. And I want to tell you, my husband has given me permission to say certain things. Before I jump into that real quick, because I'm going to run out of time, I want you to take your packet and look at some other ways that we're different. And I'm just going to breeze through these and then get back to my core. So I have notes for you, and then the power of prayer we're going to come back to. So we're men and women, we're different, right? This birth order book by Kevin Lehman is some interesting things. Have any of you ever heard of that? Okay, so there really is some truth to it. On your own time, read through this, because a lot of these diagnostic things are going to help you understand. When you have understanding, then it's like, why does this bother him so much? Or why does this bother me so much? And when you think about your family dynamics, maybe the way you grew up, that could be a reason, an aha moment, and you think, oh, well, I can talk to my husband about this, or I can maybe change my perception on this. So that's really great. The next one, turn the page, the love languages. You can go at the top, there's the website. This is by Gary Chapman, the book. You can go and just take the test. If you haven't read the book, that's okay. Just take the test to show you what your love languages are. Is everybody familiar with the love languages? Okay. Usually you're not always just one, sometimes you're a combo, but that's huge. To give you an example, my husband's is touch, and so of course we're like, of course, sex, you know, that's what I always thought. Well, mine wasn't, and mine is quality time and acts of service, kind of combined. So Jeff always used to say, if I go do the dishes, oh, Roxanne really appreciates that. If I do the dishes with Roxanne, that's like, woo! And then he laughs because I'll just be drying and I'll hug him and this and that. He says, Roxanne, you touch me more when we do the dishes together. But that's a precious thing. Now, I had to learn, because touch was not mine. But the more I submitted to the Holy Spirit and said, you know, I don't get this. And the sex thing, especially if you were at odds, that was kind of like, oh, yeah, that's what he wants. I wasn't understanding, and I wasn't getting the big picture. So the more I said, you know, Lord, I really do want to understand him. I really do want to be a good wife, life partner for him. So you do that, and the Holy Spirit will show you. And I remember very specifically, because I didn't get the I got to touch you all the time thing. You know what I mean? I mean, we're not being weird and inappropriate. You know what I mean? Holding hands, whatever. So I remember, because I'm a real kind of type A doer, and I'm buzzing through the house going to do something, and the Holy Spirit says, you know, you walked by him. Be nice if you just kind of rubbed his back on the way. And I went, because, you know, I got a schedule here. So I went back and I literally kind of just went and walked back. And he looks at me like this. It was like, you saw me, you know? It just cracked me up. But anyway, I'm telling you what, the Holy Spirit will talk to you. And All you got to do is listen and be obedient. So the next one, turn the page, and we've got just some things with personality. I like the Florence Litauer, Fred Litauer test. That's the one I've studied for a long time. I know there's a lot of other ones, but just for our purposes really quickly, we're going to use this. So you may not be familiar with this diagnostic tool, and it is not to pigeonhole people. It's kind of like reading a medical journal, and then you think, oh, they've got beriberi, or I've got this disease, you know, whatever it is when you start reading it. A lot of times people read this, and then they go, oh, they're this, oh, they're that. However, so I encourage you not to just pigeonhole, but it is amazing how the lights will go on, and you'll start going, oh, that's why my son and I butt heads all the time, because we're exactly alike. So this is really good, not just for marriage, but for your whole family dynamic. So really quickly, if all the world is, if you're not familiar with these, there are four types, sanguine, choleric, phlegmatic, and melancholy. And this came about like 2,400 years ago with Hippocrates is where it started. And so, I don't know, somebody's laughing. 2,400 years ago. That was Hippocrates, ancient Greece. So anyway, do you think I meant like 240, never mind. Okay, that's okay, correct me, because Lord knows I'm going fast. So, and it was based on physical things, body fluids, blah, blah, blah. You probably don't care about that. But it is very, very interesting how true to form this is when you start going down our weaknesses and strengths. So here's a real quick visual. If all the world is a stage, the producer is going to be the melancholy, the director is going to be the choleric, the phlegmatic is going to be the audience member, and the sanguine is going to be the star. So everybody knowing that we all have strengths and weaknesses, and hopefully we can accentuate our strengths and diminish our weaknesses as the Holy Spirit changes us, which he will do. I think I know that I used to be such a strong, kind of maybe more a little more choleric than melancholy, but the truth is I'm really more melancholy. But God has changed a lot of those things. I had a tendency toward depression for many years. God has healed so much of that stuff. And that's a typical thing for a melancholy because we're so introspective. So looking at this, the sanguine, basically their desire is they want to have fun. And they control oftentimes by charm. Now some of their strengths and weaknesses, they're the life of the party, but a lot of times they're late all the time and kind of scattered. Cholerics, again, they want control. Sometimes they control by threats of anger. They're the ones that are going to bulldoze you over, you know, in not a spirit-controlled environment, but situation. But they're born leaders. They're very loyal. Phlegmatics are the more peaceful type, and we need that, right? We need that peace. A lot of times they control by procrastination. My son Wes, when he was little, the joke was, hurry up, Wes, come on, we're going. And he would move like this. And I'm thinking, what is that? You know, for crying out loud. But that's, and sometimes they don't even know that they're doing that. And they can be stubborn too. But it's a very pleasant personality, actually. And then melancholy. Melancholies are the engineers, the artists, and deep thinkers, very sensitive, very, usually very compassionate, and sometimes obsessed with organization. They can be moody. Now, the next page. When you have time, and maybe on your time this afternoon, this would be good, probably only takes about 15 minutes. Go through and take this, and when you take the test, just do the first thing that comes to your mind. If you don't know some of these words, because they're not really common words we use, look it up, just go with it. Pick the first thing. And so you're gonna go across and do all this, then the next page is scoring. And when you score it, it's gonna tell you what your profile is. Most people are a couple things. There's a couple things you can't be, like you can't be phlegmatic, choleric, because those are direct opposites. You can't be sanguine, melancholy. If you come out that way, if you want to talk about it later, because I've studied this for years and taught on it, I'll explain why. But you can't, so if you go back, here's a good, if you go back to that chart with the four, you can be a combo this way, you can be a combo this way. You can't be a combo that way or that way. And there's some very different reasons for that, which we can talk more about it later. But I want to get to some important stuff here. Okay. So, all that to say, we could be very, very, very different, right? So what do we do with all this stuff? It's like, all right, I came here to know how to have peace in my house and my marriage. And you gave me a list of papers. Believe it or not, they really are important, because probably of all these things, we need to communicate, right? This is part of the problem, that we don't have peace. Now, I know that some of you may be in here, and again, have really dire circumstances. Again, 6 years ago, my husband and I had really come to a crisis point, and there were things that he did not see, and again, he's given me permission to say this. One thing he never saw about himself was he was very critical, and he was very critical toward me. Very harsh, the way he would speak to me and to my kids, and he never, ever, ever saw it. And 6 years ago, in a counselor's office, I got up to leave, and the counselor's saying, whoa, whoa, what are you doing? I said, he doesn't love me. He didn't love me. And he said, why? Now, if you know Jeff, Jeff adores me. I adore Jeff. We really do. And this is, I told you, the things aren't always what they seem. It looks like, ooh, wonderful, happy, peace. And I said, because of the way he talks to me. And I said, he does this, he says this, he blah, 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 blah. And the counselor looked at him and said, is that true? And at that time, I remember he was like this. He was standing up in the counselor's office like this. And he said, yes, it's all true. And I hate that I do that, and I'm never going to do it again. And I have to tell you what, that day things started to change. That day. But I'll tell you what, I'm going to go into some 3 action points you ladies have. And it's because of over 30 years, I am convinced of the faithfulness of God, me pressing and pressing and pressing and pressing and saying, you know what, God, I don't want to give up. I don't want to give up. I'm putting my stake in the ground. And that's one thing I'm going to encourage you guys to do, because I don't know where you are. I don't know if it's just little irritating things like, oh, we're different and it's always going to be this way. I'm telling you, it doesn't have to be that way. It doesn't. But put your stake in the ground and go, mm-mm. You know what? Whatever it takes, I'm going to press into God and press into God and press into God. Now, here's the way, here's the truth of the whole thing. It's your heart. So what's in your heart? And that's the stuff that's kind of ouchy. And in 7 minutes, I'm going to have to tell you. There's a song that we used to sing, take my mind, transform it, take my will, conform it, take my heart and form it to yours. God says, Jesus says in John 15:12, a new commandment I give to you, love each other as I have loved you. How many times is your husband so irritating, or the situation so irritating, or they're not hearing you, and you just go, forget it, because this is what I've always done. Walk away, right? I used to leave when Jeff would get really critical and stuff, and we'd have a blowout, and I'm not absolving myself from anything. I could be harsh too. And a lot of times when people are harsh to us, especially for a long time, you think you're justified in being just as harsh back to them. And really, if that continues, then nothing is going to change, you know? And I used to have this thing like, oh, I'm not going to be the one to back down. I'll say I'm sorry, because, you know, God wants that. God wants that. But I'm not backing down. Now, sometimes if you're in a particularly dysfunctional or unhealthy relationship, I encourage you to get some counseling. I encourage you to get a mentor. There's tons of books. We have so many resources here. If you kind of even have an inkling, like, I don't think this is right. I put up with that junk for a long time because I had issues with not liking myself. And I thought that I sort of was just dumb or deserved that or whatever. And then when I started realizing, and other people would comment on his tone, how he spoke to me, the harshness. And then when he started really getting a handle on that a few years ago, came out more and more with my kids because he didn't see it. But I can tell you, he has changed. He's done just a 180. He is a completely different person. So much so that for the last few years, even sometimes I was kind of like, when's the other shoe going to drop? But it never has, because God's done a transformation in him. And I know that one way that happened was because of trying to be obedient. I know both of us were. Both of us wanted the peace. But sometimes if you're the ladies that are here, so I'm going to talk to you more like it's you. And I'm not saying your husbands are jerks. I'm not saying I love all your husbands. But sometimes we have to say, we can only change ourselves. What's in our heart? We don't know what's in our husband's heart. We only know what's in ours. Now, here's the thing, that a concept that has helped me a million times when I couldn't respect my husband, when I didn't have love for him. I had to remember something, and this might sound icky and weird, but it's true. Sometimes you can't love your husband as your husband. You have to love him as your brother in Christ. You have to step out of your wife box and say, you know what? He's my brother in Christ. How am I going to pray for him? Because I'm so mad at husband him, or hurt by, or whatever, or disappointed in the things he should be doing for our family, for me, whatever, but I can't. So God, would you just help me right now, love him as my brother in Christ, pray for him as my brother in Christ. And you know what? I could do that. I could do that. Because we're all, we're sisters. Some of us, I don't think I have any relatives in here, but you know, oftentimes there's relational things more ways than one. So he's your brother in Christ. When you can't love him as your husband, pray for him and love him as your brother in Christ. I already talked about setting your intention, putting a stake in the ground. So how do you have peace? The number one, and you can go back to your little with the three on there, is the power of prayer. Now, the power of prayer, make it a lifestyle. Prayer is looking to God for everything. It's building a relationship and getting to know him. Because God is going to show you things about your spouse and about your situation that you really never thought of. And he'll show you things about yourself, too. And a lot of times it's you, and you don't want to see those things because it's icky and it hurts, and we don't want to acknowledge them, right? But you're all here. You're all at this conference. You're all in here. You're all seeking. So I'm going to assume that you want to do that. And, you know, even like one of the speakers said, I think, in a prayer, God, help me to want to obey. You know how many times I've prayed that? I don't want to obey. But because the world is going to be telling you something different. Oh, you should just let it alone. Get out of it. What a jerk. But what has God called you to do? God's called you to love not only your husband, but your brother in Christ. So that prayer, God, in the last few years, I've been pushed to places, and because of some circumstantial things too, and even some things that were maybe my husband's doing or problem and that he created. But you know what? It pushed me so much closer to God. I didn't know I could go any closer. I'm not saying like I'm Mother Teresa, but I already pressed in. I already got up early in the morning. I already was reading and trying to go seek prayer and work in the healing center and do all these things. I already was doing that. And God kept going, you can come deeper. And then you go, what was that? You can come deeper. And you really have to be quiet and you really have to listen. And sometimes you have to make time to just go and sit there.